Welcome to the Inside Mac Games podcast. My name is Blake Buck, and we have got a special edition of the Inside Mac Games podcast this week. We are all together in the same place, in the same room. That was Tusser Dennis's leg I just slapped.
Oh my goodness. We're all in the same bed, actually. Folks, no good is coming from this.
No good.
So this week I got with me Tusser Dennis, the father of Mac Gaming.
Hello.
I got William Miller, an artist for Freeverse Software.
How you doing?
And I got Justin Ficarato of Kill Monty fame.
Yo.
And this is the special Fear and Loathing in San Francisco edition for Friday, the 13th, January 2005.
$6.
Woo!
Dude, there's something wrong with your brain when it comes to dates.
There is.
Look, I don't do dates.
Easily.
I don't do dates. You know what it is? It's square. Have you noticed how his head is square?
Is my head square? Oh, square. You, man. Buzzer X you.
Oh, if you check out the video podcast, you'll see.
You'll see.
It's square. Square head.
Okay. The blockhead, Blake Buck.
Okay. So this week in the news, Tusser Dennis is going to lay down all the news for us. Right now, go!
Well, the only news we've had is that Apple has announced, finally has unveiled, the new Intel Macs. And I think everyone was pleasantly surprised by how nice machines they are.
And we got two for the price of one.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I mean, great processors, lots of memory, and an awesome video card. It's like the top of the line, you know, video card with the latest technology. Lots of VRAM for all your games, and I think they're just gonna sell like gangbusters. So,
giggling hyenas.
Gangbusters, you like that word?
I like it. Every time you say it, I like.
Right, well, I don't like the name, the MacBook Pro. Okay. The Inside Mac Games podcast is going to come up with a new name for these PowerBooks, because that's what they are. I'm sorry.
They're PowerBooks.
They're Power... What is it?
All right, where do you go? Tusser Dennis, you go first. Go.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's something that we'll eventually get used to.
Well, if they had a MacBook, like, regular, had they released that first, it might have made a little more sense.
See, when the PowerBook came out, people were like, well, it's not a book, you know? And way back when.
Well, it's like notebook. Notebook computer's been around for a while.
Yeah. Well, I guess. But it was the same thing. It was like PowerBook kind of didn't mesh. So I think when the only thing I don't like about it is the Pro at the end. I thought that was kind of silly. Just call it a MacBook and then the iBook or whatever, you know.
It would have made more sense if they had made the MacBook and then later made a MacBook Pro. It's kind of like the iBook and the PowerBook is now.
Should have had a MacBook and Mega MacBook. Mega portable Macintosh of death
book.
I like the iPower.
iPower?
iPower. That sounds like an AC adapter, Buck.
It does sound like an AC. One of those like cheap cottage industry kind that cropped up after the iMac came out. You know what I'm talking about. I was talking to somebody today. iPod accessories is like a cottage industry now. Everybody and their grandmother makes iPod accessories. Everybody.
Yeah.
Like, we were on the floor, and there's so many accessories. Like, it just gets old.
Yeah, did you remember that we saw some scooters go by, and they had iPod accessories
on
them?
And another thing is, like, the little cloth pads that you put over your keyboard, how many different spins can you put on that? It's just a piece of cloth that you put on your keyboard.
Mine's tie-dyed!
Like iClear and iSkin.
I like iClear. Don't talk about iClear.
Okay, well, all right.
Don't hate on it.
But
and iSkin's going to give me free merchandise by the end of this Macworld. So help me God.
They have not delivered to Blake Buck delivered as of yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get back to the keynote.
Okay,
for
keynote.
A second. So, like, the first hour or so was all about the iApps that have been updated, and that's like it's really important stuff because to me, that's one of the reasons that Macs are selling so well these days is because of these iApps are integrated into, you know, into the new Macs and the apps just keep getting better and better. Now you have, you know, these Macs that are just super fast with just awesome features like the EyeSight camera in them and the infrared remote controls and, you know, the super drives and basically everything you would want in the, you know, either desktop or portables. So yeah, I do think they're gonna sell like gangbusters. I mean, I the excitement level at Macworld hasn't been there hasn't been this much excitement since Steve Jobs took over as CEO, and it's really cool to see. So,
and from what I hear, this is didn't you tell us that this is a huge turnout as opposed to our previous years at Macworld?
Yeah, I mean, I've been to previous Macworlds where the hallways are just pretty empty, and this show has been particularly, it just seems like there's people everywhere, you know, and then the other part is that there's a lot of smiles on people's faces, you know.
You don't go to Glinda Adams isn't crying at the Aspire booth, so that's an improvement.
Yeah, definitely. And it's cool to see all these, you know, people are just gung-ho about Apple, you know, the Mac, the iPod. It's, you know, it's good times, and Apple keeps on innovating and keeps on getting better, and business couldn't be better now. So it's been a really, really good Macworld. Now, the other question that, you know, the other question that people are asking themselves is the whole dual booting issue, and that is a problem, or could be a potential problem to a lot of the developers that we deal with on a daily basis. And we'll just go over why that could be a problem. If you can boot into Windows, then, you know, there's a lot of speculation that ports, you know, especially high-end ports like Call of Duty, those type of games, it won't be necessary to port those over to the Mac.
Bah!
But...
Yeah, the Blizzard guy agreed with me. I went and talked to the Blizzard guy. He said that's Robert. He said it was going to be a one percenter.
Yeah, that's sort of the opinion I have too. It's like only a very small percentage of people are going to dual boot into Windows to play their high end games, and you know,
yeah. I saw some news reports right after the keynote that said. One was on MSNBC, and the other one was on some other site that I saw that you'll be able to install Windows on these new Macs pretty easily. And from what some Apple engineers have told me, that's not going to be the case. It's not going to be, you know, you're not just going to be able to buy Windows XP and then, you know, put it on your Mac. You know, it's going to have to be hacked. However, I did see another news story today that, according to this website, Microsoft executives are looking into, you know, making sure that virtual PC runs on these new Intel Macs, and you know, that could.
Well, yeah, because Macs are going to be replacing PCs in 5 years. So
that's where people are. That's where these big publishing companies and companies that port games are really going to start to smell blood in the water is when you have. Don't look at me like this.
Smell blood in the water.
Listen.
What the hell kind of phrase
is
that?
William Miller is waxing poetic.
Look,
today.
I'm getting there. I'm getting my point. No, they're gonna really start to. You're gonna start to see a lot of diversifying in those companies when you get applications like virtual PC running stuff at native speed, because it's a lot easier for the game enthusiast to click on their, you know, their Call of Duty and it run at native speed in a shell, you know, on your Mac OS X desktop, which I can see happening, you know, as opposed to having to dual boot. That's when you're going to start to see people like Aspire paying a lot more attention to casual games versus these big AAA titles that they've been using for, their, you know.
Now, we got an email, and I'm sorry whoever sent me this email. I don't remember who it was, but they wanted us to explain what is the Intel Macs, which they didn't really understand how an Intel Mac is different from a PowerPC. They didn't really anybody want to give a shot at just kind of...
To the consumer, nothing. Breaking
it down to simple?
Yeah, the consumer is not going to see any difference, except maybe it'll be faster. But beyond that, you know, your Office might run a little bit slower, and your Photoshop might run a little bit slower, until they make those applications...
Essentially...
Universal binaries.
Essentially, we got an old chip, and now we got a new chip. And it changes the architecture of the machine, right? How is it different?
Well, it's now essentially a PC, right? And so, I mean, and the whole reason this switch happened was, you know, in case people don't know out there, that you know, the PowerPC architecture hasn't been going ahead as fast as Apple would have liked. You know, the PowerPC G5 has been in a rut for the last couple of years. The PowerBook G5 never came out, et cetera, et cetera. And that's why this decision to switch to Intel was made, because, you know, frankly, Intel makes better computer processors, and IBM is now concentrating on, you know, making chips for consoles, gaming consoles, and whatnot.
Also, another thing that they really stressed in the keynote was how much performance you get for the power you're putting into the chip.
Per watt, yeah.
Per watt, so...
EPU.
That's good, Blake.
Yeah.
EPW, nice. Buck.
God damn it! What is PPU? My... What is that?
Something you just made up.
No, it's power per something.
Anyway.
Physics processing.
That's something you do in the bathroom.
Anyway, I think...
Yikes. Stinging wit of Tonser Dinner. Something you do in the bathroom, man.
Well, I think one of the things that kind of worried me in the keynote is that they didn't talk about how long the batteries in those laptops are going to last. I think if it was good, they would have pushed it.
That's
I think
true.
If you were going to get more power out of them, they would have made a big deal out of that.
Well, they said power performance per watt, right? So they couldn't have done the G5 because it would have taken, essentially your battery would have lasted like an hour, supposedly. You know, they didn't say exact, but they, you know, they had the chart and it was way up there. So I guess the battery life wouldn't have been anything.
Yeah.
So since they didn't make a point about the battery life now, I guess it just runs faster and has about the same.
About the same, right.
Yeah. Is it possible they don't know yet? Because the keynote said that the MacBook Pro is going to be coming out in February.
Oh, I'm sure they have them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they have
them. Or maybe if they know they haven't quite finalized, maybe they're still working on that aspect of it.
They're on the floor at Macworld.
Yeah, you can use them on the floor.
But now they're not on batteries, surely. But
you know what? The other thing that I came away with from the keynote presentation and also talking to developers was that the level of excitement of having these entry-level, well, especially for the iMac, the entry-level iMac now is a kick-ass gaming machine.
Right.
You know, and it literally has no deficiencies. It has the incredible video card and the super-fast processor and everything. So, you know, that has always been the bane of Mac gaming has been, the processor speeds have never been equal, you know, to what's available on the PC. And that's going to be a big, big boost for Mac gaming, I think. Just the raw performance, being able to run your games without any slowdown and you know, things like that is going to be really nice. And especially for next generation games that are going to be coming out next year, like UT 2007 and all those kind of games. In other words, your iMac will not be obsolete in 1 year, which has been the case in the past.
And then especially with the portables, too. Like, the portables have always sort of been a little bit behind the desktop computers so far. And now with the MacBook Pro, that has basically the same stats as your iMac. So, I mean, it still has a dual processor, still has the video card.
Now let's clarify here that they don't have dual processors. They're dual core. Now there's a difference there. They're on the same chip. It's not two chips. It's dual core.
Right. Okay. But it's basically treated as a dual processor,
right,
for
pretty much, essentially
the lowdown.
So let me ask you this: as a programmer, how can games then take advantage of that?
Well, for gaming, there's a lot of things you can create different threads for. You can unload like AI, for instance, to another thread that your other processor can take advantage of. Things like texture loading that can, you know, that, you know, and any kind of asset loading that typically takes up some time, you can dump onto the other processor, and you know, and leave the other processor for game logic and, you know, physics and stuff that you really need on the fly, and then do other stuff in the background with threading. So I mean, and having that on every Mac now. You know, even your iMacs and your portables is going to, you know, raise that lower bar.
Yeah.
I think it's going to take some getting used to, though, especially in the game development community, because most most game applications don't take advantage of multiple processors. They've always sort of played to the lowest common denominator.
Right.
And now developers are going to have to get used to using that kind of technology. I mean, I know my stuff is it's multi-threaded, but it doesn't really take advantage of, you know, what it could do.
But on the PC side, that's happening now, where a lot of the games that are going to be coming out in the future are going to be taking advantage of the dual core and quad cores and all that, whatever comes in the future. The one thing though that if there is any deficiency in these new Intel Macs is the fact that there is no dedicated audio processor, and that was one thing that Glenda Adams at Aspire had mentioned, that there will still be a bit of a performance hit versus a PC because you still have to go through the CPU to do all the audio. And a lot of times that takes up a lot of overhead, you know, for gaming.
That can't be fixed by buying a sound card?
Yes. Well, yeah, but you're not going to stick a sound card into your iMac.
That's true.
So
you can get an external. They sell external sound cards, don't they? The Extigy or whatever from.
Yeah, but you know, the people who buy iMacs aren't going to necessarily be doing that. Maybe if you know when the Intel Power Max, I shouldn't even call them Power Max anymore. Whatever Intel Pro, you know, Intel Mac Pro machines are going to be coming out.
The Mac Pro.
Yeah, I
the
actually
Mac, the
I
Mac mean, Daddy.
See, I
the Mac Daddy Pro.
I actually, that was the one thing that I wish that Apple had worked on was like some kind of integration with Sound Blaster on the motherboard.
That's
or
true.
Something to that effect would have been pretty cool. So.
So what other big announcements have happened at Macworld?
Well, this Macworld, I was actually pleasantly surprised by the number of new titles that the developers are working on. Macsoft is working on a AAA title that is going to be really nice. Unfortunately, we're not at liberty to discuss what it is, but when it's announced in the coming weeks, it's going to be really nice. The ones that we can talk about, Freeverse announced yesterday that Heroes of Might and Magic 5 is going to be, and it's actually their first port to the Mac.
Bruce Morrison is ecstatic about this game.
No, wait a minute, that's not their first port. Didn't they do X to the Threat?
No, that was all done by a virtual program.
But it's listed
Dennis
all
Piakowski.
Through Freeverse's website.
Yeah, that was Dennis.
But it's listed all through Freeverse's website, though. Did they have like some sort of advertising tie-in?
They distributed X2 in North America for virtual programming.
Oh, I see.
So, but Freeverse didn't work on didn't do the ports and stuff like that. So this will be the first, you know, PC to Mac conversion that Freeverse will be doing and also publishing. And it's going to be a great title. It's supposed to be coming out in March for the PC and sometime hopefully in the summer for the Mac, and you know, a lot of RPG players are going to be really happy to see that on the Mac.
Absolutely, and it's going to be a real quick turnaround, too. I mean, it's not going to be like your average Mac port that you get a year, 6 months or a year later.
Yeah, well, we're speculating here, and I'm sure Freeverse is speculating as to when it's going to be done, but hopefully sometime in the summer it'll be done. We also talked to Feral, and they're working on a ton of stuff for 2006. 2005, they had a really slow year. They only published a couple of titles. But for 2006, they have what's been announced is Black and White 2, Fable, The Lost Chapters, Colin McRae, and there's another title I'm forgetting.
Oh, God, what was the other one? Blake Buck. What was that other title?
Age of Mythology.
Oh, SpongeBob.
James Bond, 007, Magpie. Spy Hunter.
No. And then the last title is Imperial Glory, which actually should be coming out in February.
I thought that was already out.
No.
Oh, what am I thinking of? King's Glory or something. Glory Kings.
And then beyond that, they have another three or four games in the pipeline for the end of 2006. So all in all, Feral could be publishing between, you know, 6 and 8 titles all this year.
Pretty strong.
Yeah, and really strong titles. So that you know, that'll be great to see. Aspyr is also, you know, they've announced Quake 4, Call of Duty 2, and then they have other stuff in the pipeline, which should be announced pretty soon.
Are they announcing anything else at Macworld?
No, that's it.
Oh, okay.
And then beyond that, there's a lot of other developers on the Mac side that are coming out with casual games and things like that. PopCap announced a couple of titles. Gamehouse is working on more
Garage games. Yep.
And you know, the list goes on and on. Blizzard was at the show showing off World of how we can get more, even more richer, and you know, and so anyway, there's a really good vibe in Mac gaming these days, and hopefully with this Intel Switch, we'll see even more top quality Mac games make it to the Mac.
It's true. What would you say this year compared to last year? I mean, do you think Mac gaming has grown significantly, or think it's about the same?
Well, you know, I talked to a lot of developers this year about first is distribution, and also about the decline of PC gaming and how that has affected Mac gaming. And some of the conclusions are actually, some of the discussions I've had are pretty interesting. The one thing that Mac gaming from like 2004 and 2005 has actually, as far as sales go, has seemed to leveled off. Whereas on the PC side, sales have actually been declining, right? So if you look at it that way, then the Mac gaming market is not in too bad of a shape. If PC gaming is dropping off, and a lot of people attribute that to, you know, Xbox 360 and the Xbox and the upcoming PS3 and all that. So Mac gaming is actually, if it's not declining, that's, you know, that's a good thing. The other problem, though, is that distribution is still a sticky situation as far as Mac gaming goes. To single out one retail store, CompUSA, seems to be, you know, the thorn on the side of Mac gaming.
Now, why is that?
CompUSA is not particularly fond of putting Mac games on the shelves. And that has actually had a big impact on sales, for the Mac.
But I mean, like, as opposed to, like, 90% of other retailers who don't offer Mac games, I mean, isn't that better?
No.
I mean, CompUSA is pretty much the only large retailer that sells Mac games, other than, like, the Apple Store.
Well, yeah, exactly. And the thing is, CompUSA has something like 250 stores in the States, right? And a lot of people buy Mac games through CompUSA, and so the problem is that CompUSA is carrying less and less Mac games. Right? For example, they didn't carry Close Combat, they didn't carry Zoo Tycoon 2, which came out a couple of months ago. Right? And so that ends up impacting MacSoft sales and their ability to port more games over to the Mac. You know, if they're not in CompUSA, then they lose out on a bunch of sales. And
sure. Would you say CompUSA is the number one retail outlet for Mac games?
No, it's not. It's the Apple stores.
Really?
Right.
But even though there's so many more CompUSAs, Apple store is still.
Yeah. Well, at one point, CompUSA was the most important retailer for Mac gaming. But it's now the Apple Store. In a way, if you think about it, if there was no Apple Stores, Mac gaming would be absolutely dead, right? Because the Aspyrs and the Freeverses would not be able to exist if it wasn't for the Apple Stores. So what's happening right now is the Apple Stores are selling more Mac games while CompUSA is dropping. You know, if it had stayed at the same level, you know, where CompUSA kept on buying Mac games and here come all the Apple stores, right?
We had a little visual with that one on camera. It was good. So it seems like if the problem comes with distribution, how do we get more stores to distribute Mac games? Like, it seems like it would be the holy day of Mac gaming if Walmart would carry Mac games, you know.
Right.
But that's not going to happen.
And unfortunately, that's
soon.
Exactly. That's not going to happen.
So how do we get more you know, retailers to carry Mac games?
At gunpoint.
That's right. Chloroform.
Well, the solution is going to be opening more Apple stores. The more Apple stores that are out there, the more people will be able to go in and see stuff's on the shelves and then be able to buy Mac games. So that's going to keep on going. You know, Apple, a lot of people were skeptical of Apple's ability to have profitable stores, but they're doing it, and they're opening more and more stores, and that's going to be good for Mac gaming. As far as, you know, other types of distribution, I mean, one of the reasons that we launched MacGameStore.com was for all the people who live in Nebraska or wherever that don't have, you know, and you know, we have customers in India and Japan, all over the place that are buying...
Martin in Japan. Martin.
Yeah, exactly. Who are buying stuff from our store, and that's helping out the you know, the Mac developers. But beyond that, there needs to be more mom-and-pop shops and more distribution in other countries. And that will help, you know, that will end up helping Mac gaming. The other thing that I think is going to, in the coming years, help Mac gaming is also the move towards digital downloads. Mm-hmm. You're going to see at one point Aspire is going to be offering them, and Feral will, and Freeverse will, you know, and so...
That, I know, it's been a big push for Freeverse to offer digital downloads.
Yeah.
Like they've gotten a lot of requests to do that, I think, and we're moving that way, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Wingnuts 2. No digital downloads for Wingnuts 2.
Well, it's big.
It's true.
The Inside Mac Games podcast had the privilege of playing Wingnuts 2, and gotta say, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's real nice. And actually, we're gonna get a full copy. There were only three levels of it at the on the floor, but. We're going to get the level editor, we're going to get the full game from Bruce later, and we're going to play it and have a review for you. But I think that's going to come out on...
More of a preview.
A preview.
It's not finalized.
Yeah. Not finalized, but it's on DVD. I think it might be a problem for the big A titles, AAA titles, to be digitally distributed. For instance, like the new Unreal Tournament, I doubt would ever have... I mean, like the demo
The original
of that
Unreal
game.
Tournament, or I say the original, Unreal Tournament 2004 is... Originally, when it came out on the PC, was like four discs, four
yeah.
CDs.
So,
it's one DVD on the Mac.
But I don't think that really makes a difference, because your average Mac gamer is not buying AAA titles. Your average Mac gamer is buying, you know...
Oh, I disagree. I mean, isn't that why you bring the AAA titles to the Mac? Because they sell the most. Right?
Well,
you bring the Call of Duties, you bring the Doom 3s, because that's what sells.
Okay,
I say on the retail side, that's
on
yeah,
the retail,
that's what sells.
Yeah,
the most,
on the retail side,
right now on digital downloads, you're seeing a huge
retail,
surge of casual games.
I think that's where the future.
But retail,
and that is also why I think, you know, Mac has not declined as the PC side has, because there is a very tenacious desire for casual shareware games on the Mac.
Well, exactly, and the reason is because there's a lot of moms and dads and kids and, you know, who are not into Call of Duty, and they want to play games like Bejeweled 2 and, you know, Luxor and, you know, all those, the Cribbage and, you know, all those kind of games. Yeah, card games and things like that on the Mac. And so, yeah, I think the trend is going to be towards more casual games, which is not necessarily a bad thing, because... You know, with the PS3 coming out and the Xbox 360, you know, if you're a gamer, you're going to have those, you know, at home as well. So if you have, you know, a console and then your Mac to play your casual games and stuff like that, you know, that's cool. But, you know, I certainly hope that the Call of Duties and the other types of games do not disappear from the Mac. I mean, I can't imagine playing Civ 4... you know, on an Xbox 360. Those type of games are going to flourish on PCs and on Macs for years and years to come. You know, it's like playing The Sims 2, which is the best-selling game of 2005 on a Mac. You don't want to play that on your Xbox 360. Those type of games are going to do really well. Another example, Heroes of Might and Magic 5. The main reason Freeverse is bringing that game over to the Mac is because it's not going to be available on Xbox 360 or PS3.
There are a couple of genres out there that you just cannot do on a console. RTS games.
I played StarCraft 64. Okay.
How badly did it suck?
It sucked pretty bad, but what was cool is you had split screen, two player. But what I always did,
What's the point of that? It's like free recon.
You stick a piece of cardboard in between the top and bottom half. That's how we did it back in the day.
That's ghetto crap. like RTS, like a couple of RPG genres, you know, MMORPGs are always going to have a home on PC and Mac. That's just period.
Exactly. And I think the other point I want to make about the decline of PC gaming, and I don't see this as a doom and gloom kind of scenario. What I see is a lot of publishers like Activision and EA and some of the other big ones are concentrating on the console. And what's going to happen? The smaller developers who tend to be the innovators are going to see an opportunity to make PC games, to get into that market, because the EAs and all the other big publishers are now going to be ignoring that market. So the potential there is still going to be pretty big. You know, people still want to play stuff on their PCs or their Macs. And I think you're going to see this trend of high-quality, innovative titles coming to the desktops, you know. And so anyway, PC and Mac gaming are not going to be dying anytime soon.
Now, when we talk about PC and Mac gaming, and as terms of the digital download side, what do you think there are more of, PC digital downloads or more Mac digital downloads?
Well, right now it's definitely on the PC side, you know, with Steam, and then EA just launched their downloading service, and then...
Oh, really? I hadn't heard of that.
Yeah, and so it's, you know...
Well,
what
do you think about it proportionally, though? If you factor out the size difference in the communities,
yeah,
what do you think proportionally digital downloads is versus retail?
Oh, that's a tough question. I mean, I in the end, I think people do prefer to get their box versions of games. I know I do.
Absolutely.
You know, I like having my CD.
What are you talking about? I see a copy of Civ 3 sitting over in the trash right there.
Well, that's Jean-Luc's.
You're in trouble, Jean-Luc.
I'll be buying Feral's boxes.
Feral's boxes.
Because their box art rocks.
Oh, my God.
Everyone else digital downloads.
Glenn Adams,
Feral,
you better be listening.
Bam,
make some better boxes.
Glenn Adams, make better boxes.
Yeah. The other thing I don't like about commercial games that are available as digital downloads is that you will eventually forget about that game that you bought for $49.95 over Steam or whatever the scenario is, and as long as you have that CD, you know, you can play that game 5 years down the road and not worry about, oh, I lost my account,
where's my key,
yeah, all that kind of stuff.
What's my, but you know, my registry name?
Yeah, but one point I am going to make is that digital downloads is something that the market cannot ignore. There are certain people who want it, and it's going to be big. It's going to be a big thing, but the retail side is not going to disappear. It will never disappear.
We've all seen the expo floor. I say we have like the Mac World 2006 Hall of Fame, Hall of Shame, best of show, worst of show.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, all right,
I love it.
All right,
you know, let's start with let's start with best booth of the show.
Okay, now we're just talking Mac gaming.
Mac gaming, Mac, you know, just in the show.
It's, the best,
you know,
overall.
Favorite booths, favorite, you know, best swag, you know.
Oh,
cool,
I got
t-shirts.
I got one. All right, you ready?
All right,
you ready?
William Miller, go.
Okay, I don't remember what this booth was. Hang on, I have their business card. Give me a second. No, I'm gonna plug you guys.
Someone's getting plugged.
You're glad. Okay. The, wait a minute. What is it?
That's Think.
Think. Think4Inc.com. That's THINK, the number 4, INC.com. All right. These people, they sold me on their product. What they make is this continual ink system. Now, this thing, you've got these, like, 5 ink reservoirs outside of your printer, right? And you run these tubes to cartridges that fit in the printer itself. And you can buy like 14 refills of ink or 10 refills of ink for $14. Okay? So he printed out this big sheet, looked really nice, and he's like, okay, with the regular ink, this would cost $1.50 to print. With this system, 10 cents.
You were sold.
I was sold.
That's it.
So
the ink reservoirs full of value.
Ink reservoirs full of value. So if you're tired of paying too much for your ink and you want to never run out of it, I mean, this thing is like $150 for the initial setup. That's the reservoir tanks and the special cartridges that you put in and everything. And then the additional ink per color is like $14, and that's like the equivalent of 10 refills in your ink. I was so
I guess that would be the best presentation, perhaps?
I don't know. It was just the best, like...
The best pitch.
The best pitch. The guy pitched it. I don't remember what his name was, but he pitched it, and I was sold. If I had been shopping for a printer or something that day, I would have
bought it. He had the best pitch, and he had a purple soul patch going on.
A purple...
He did have a purple soul patch. Man. I wanted to say, did you get a little ink?
It's also edible, the ink.
Okay, and the worst... Delicious Monster.
Delicious Monster, boom.
Okay.
We'll leave this one.
No, leave that one to me.
Blake will cover Delicious Monster.
Just a pick, give us your picks.
All right, my best, I'm going to go for, let's see. The Freeverse booth, they had...
If you didn't hear that, Justin Ficarotta's stomach.
That was my stomach.
That was
Touch of Dennis.
Touch of stomach, he's hungry.
Oh my goodness. No good is coming from this live podcast. Alright, the Freeverse booth, while sadly lacking the inflatable monkey, when we approached the Freeverse booth for the first time on Tuesday morning, Steve Zay pulls out a Nerf dart gun and blasts the hell out of Blake Buck.
Shot him right in the eye.
Automatically, winner, boom, done. Freeverse.
Like, no. They
winner of what?
Best booth.
They planned this attack.
Yes.
They knew the Inside Mac Games podcast was coming.
This was an ambush. Dart gun, all those darts, the names on them, Blake Buck.
It didn't just hit Blake in the eye socket or the eyelid, no.
It was suction cup on my eye.
Steve Zay is a sniper.
They were waiting for us. They trapped us.
They got me good. You got any other picks?
Worst booth of Macworld 2006, Ambrosia Software, because there was no booth. Where are you, Ambrosia?
Where's your El Balo, Ambrosia? Where is it?
Oh, it ain't here. Maybe you had your tail between your legs because you sucked this year, Ambrosia.
Where is Redline? Where is, you know, El Balo 2 going commando?
Redline was at Macworld last year.
That's right.
Redline was at it. Where's
Sketchfighter?
So, Sketchfighter? Sketchfighter Alpha. It looks
where's
badass.
Anything? Ambrosia, what are you doing? Was it nap time?
What's the deuce?
Okay, let's stop the ragging on Ambrosia.
Look, I just want a shirt and a pal.
You guys are just a bunch of Freeverse suck asses.
Well, I am. Well, hey.
Yeah.
Well,
I asked Andrew if they were coming, and he said no because we don't have the stuff ready. It's better not to show stuff that's not ready.
True.
So he did promise when the stuff is ready, they'll be back.
Maybe
you
next
better bring
year.
Some heat to the table. We're not.
We're
gonna
waiting
accept.
Next year.
We only kid because we like the product. We want to see it.
Yeah,
we don't want to see absence.
I am very curious about us.
We're excited.
Fire.
Me Definitely. Too.
We're
Me
excited.
Too. We're excited. Yeah.
Test your days. Best worst go.
Oh man, this is tough because I spent no time looking at booths. I just talked to people.
Oh, not just booths, just like swag or t-shirts.
Okay, well,
or
I'm going
or...
to give props to the folks at Apple for once again making a commitment to Mac gaming and setting up the Mac gaming area. That's what it's actually called. And you know, Apple year after year has given the developers and the publishers a lot of support. So you see, you know, companies like Blizzard at Macworld because of Apple. You see companies like PopCap.
Even if it was just Rob.
Yeah. Gamehouse.
He was Blizzard.
Macsoft didn't have a booth, but they still had a presence there because of Apple. So, you know, the Apple games people work really hard, and they do everything in their power to make sure that Mac gaming is represented at Macworld. As far as the worst, I am so sick of seeing all the iPod accessories.
Oh, yeah. God.
You know, anything iPod accessory related is just
That was at least 95% of the booths in Macworld.
Bling your pod.
How many
.com.
How many speaker attachment can you make?
I mean, I want a helmet that's got speakers like Mickey Mouse.
Okay, and you stick the iPod like right in your forehead between your eyes.
There are only so many shapes. I mean, seriously.
I want the pyramid. I want the cone. I want the sphere.
Oh my God.
I want the box.
I even saw jackets that had iPod integration.
Wait, did you hear about the iPod jeans?
Yeah, the Howard was talking about it. Yeah, Howard was talking about it. Yeah. It's in the watch pocket. It's got a controller, and you hook it in. I don't really know how it works. But.
See, I've got iPod jeans.
I'm afraid I put
my iPod in my pocket, and I can control it through my jeans pocket. Boom, iPod jeans.
I would be afraid I'd leave the iPod in there when I was washing the jeans.
Dude, I would just eat it. I would eat the little controller it comes with.
Oh, iPod accessories, stop it.
Yeah, seriously.
Stop it.
All right, best swag was the ATI bags.
Oh man,
were the best bags.
Best bags of show
of the show, ATI. Easily.
Every other bag, all the other inside. Bags.
Yeah, whenever I got another bag, I just put it in the ATI bag, and they had a mountain of them. So every day, I just go get an ATI bag and collect them. Mm. And worst booth of show. Oh, Delicious Monster. So I don't know. I've plugged Delicious Monster a couple of times because I use Delicious Monster to catalog all my Mac games, all my Xbox games. I have a Delicious Monster library of games that's nearly 500 games large. What do you think about that, Tuntit? Is
fantastic.
Well. Anyway, so I went over to the Delicious Monster. They had these cool-looking, like, Delicious Monster t-shirts. I was like, guys, I'm an awesome fan. I bought the shareware. I want a shirt. I'll even pay for the shirt if I have to. And you know what they told me? Get the Buzzer X out of here. That's what they told me. They didn't have any shirts.
Get this Oompa Loompa out of our booth.
I asked them if Mike Montes was going to be there, the guy who made it. They were like, we don't know, he's there early. It sucked. They wouldn't tell me anything.
So
wouldn't
no
give me
shirt and no Delicious owner of a Delicious Monster.
I got a bookmark. That's all I freaking
and
got.
And it didn't even scan.
Yeah, I tried to scan the bookmark and it didn't even work.
Guys, you dropped the ball.
Should have been an Easter egg there. Easter egg missed.
Blake Buck no longer endorses your product.
No, I want my $40 back, Delicious Monster.
And a shirt.
And a shirt. And children.
Oh.
All right, well, that's us for this week in Mac Gaming. How was it, guys?
That's pretty exciting. We didn't get too gay.
And we're going to fix that right now.
Okay, get away.
That is so on the video. I'm so glad that camera's pointed on that side.
Oh, you thought this was just, we were just going to use audio. No. This is going to be just a video of Tunser here.
A Tunser cat.
Tunser in his underwear.
We can do with the new...
That's right, we can use the new podcasting features.
Yeah. And we can put like random pictures. Oh, that's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
So everybody can... Oh, and by the way, Tunser is on Hot or Not.
Oh, yeah. We're going to put the link on the site.
Everybody give him a 10. He's at like 7.5. We got to get that up. Come on, Mac.
Look, he's a sexy monster.
He is.
He's a delicious monster.
Who put that up there? I know. Corey Thomas, I think, put that up there. From Mac Gamer.
Look for Arabian Stud.
That's him.
That's
Are you his. Arabian, Tunser?
No.
Why does it say Arabian Stud? So from all of us here at Mac Gaming... I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin Ficarada.
I'm Blake Buck Jr.
You can't be Blake Buck Jr. I'm Blake Buck.
And this is the Mac Gaming News.
What? He can't say.
This is the Mac Gaming News
for 2005.
And we'll see you next time.